return to nothingness. God made us out of nothing, nothing at all, and it is well for us occasionally to recall that fact. Because God made us, we are precious, but because we came from utter nothingness, we can never boast of our self-sufficiency. And since we came from God, we have an insatiable craving to revert to union with His life and truth and love. But since we are also the children of nothingness, we are as dependent on Him as the sun rays on the sun. When John the Baptist saw our Lord for the first time, this sense of nothingness caused him to say, "I must decrease, He must increase." This did not involve St. John in any false humility, any unrealistic pretense that he or his work was worthless. It was a simple admission that even the brilliant star must lose its luster in the rising glory of the sun. John diminished himself in the face of God. We might do the same, reminding ourselves from time to time that nothingness is our origin. We can do this by the practice of humility, and out of such an act, our creation is renewed. We can return psychologically to the womb of nothingness, our mother, by emptying ourselves of all that is not God, and so returning to that naked naught from which He drew us forth. When we look the true facts of our existence in the face, we must see that He is all, and that we possess nothing which did not come from Him. We realize then that He holds us in existence from moment to moment. We become aware of the fact that without Him we can do nothing. Our divine Savior reminded His followers of their relative nothingness when He described the proper behavior for Christians at a banquet. They should not bolt to the head table, setting themselves up as VIPs. They should act as nobodies, rather than trying to appear as somebodies. A little later in His ministry, He reverted to the theme and praised the publican who sought the back of the temple in admission of his nothingness, instead of the Pharisee who pushed himself forward. Our Lord gave heaven's verdict: "Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the man who humbles himself will be exalted." The injunction to be humble does not, however, mean that we should go through life with an inferiority complex. We are not to seek the valley of humiliation in order to cower there in darkness, but rather so that, from that valley, we may see the mountains of God and find our exaltation there. The upswing from a sense of the littleness of the self to joy in the greatness of the Lord is beautifully expressed in the words of Mary, the mother of Jesus: "He has looked graciously upon the lowliness of His handmaid." Mary's recognition of her own nothingness apart from God had carried her lower in her own esteem than anyone who ever lived. Thus her exaltation was correspondingly more sublime. The more we think of ourselves, the less we think of God. All egotists are anti-religious. The spiritual prerequisite for seeing God is not to be blinded by our own ego with its pride, conceit, and deification of the self. Only the empty can be filled. Only the de-egotized can be divinized. The well water cannot add to the cup already filled to the brim with mud, and only the humble, emptied soul can be filled with the waters of everlasting life. Often during our lifetimes we fill our cups with the mud and stones of selfishness. This mud, this false pride, this exaggeration of the worth of the self apart from God is what complicates life and prevents the soul from being united with that for which it was made. As the haze prevents the sun's rays from shining on the earth, so the self, denying the nothingness which is its reality, cuts off God. And as the sun in time dissolves the haze by its heat, so God too may burn away our pride and reach the soul. God Himself showed us the way of humility. He descended into nothingness when He humbled Himself to the lowly death of the crucifixion, only to rise in His glory, drawn up by the irresistible force of divine power. For us too, the only avenue to God is through a crucifixion of the self. The self-made man builds on his own ego, and generally reveals himself as a poor architect. But the God-made man, too contemptuous of self to use it as a rafter or a cornerstone, lets God erect the edifice of his life. He is like St. Paul: "I am what I am by the grace of God," and he is happy in his frank humility.